I better get a double round. And yes, I guess they ought to name a drink after you. Yes, I guess they ought to name a drink after you.
And aloha, you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners with you in partnership with Al Pastor Tacos, George's Food Truck, and Kilauea Paint and Feed. And we so appreciate our underwriters.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Al Pastor Tacos supports KKCR across the street from the craft fair in Kapa'a by the beach. Al Pastor Tacos serves fresh grilled local fish, steak, chicken, and pork tacos and burritos in the Al Pastor style. Open every day from 11 to 4. Al Pastor Tacos, authentic Mexican food. 652-6953.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef Georgia de Jungle supports KKCR.
Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, specializing in professional-grade Pittsburgh paints and premium pet food and organic livestock feed. Propane exchange and propane filling, too. Located just past the Shell station on Kolo Road in Kilauea. Open Monday through Friday from 7:30 to 5:30 and Saturday from 8 to 1. Kilauea Paint and Feed Store, 828-6655.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio, the station that loves you. And today we have Eric Hansen in the studio with me. He's another one of our KKCR team. And he is with Soul Shakedown.
Soul Shakedown.
Party on Saturday nights. So he's got all kinds of science background, too. This is a happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. And we're keeping it green in Kauai Soapbox, which is Kauai's place for being able to air their concerns and, you know, figure out what we're going to do about it. We all think about things together, and we got a lot that we're going to cover today. I do want to start, though, with a word of love and concern to Vanuatu. There's 65 islands in Vanuatu, in kind of the Melanesia area. Do you know much about that, Eric?
Vanuatu, 65 islands, I believe, volcanic island chain, great kava farmers. Some of our people that are living here on Kauai are from Vanuatu. Every one of them is, I know, beautiful, great people, lots of smiles. Really hard workers, very family oriented, very ohana.
And they got hit by this cyclone Pam, which is a category 5. 3,300 people are sheltered, lost their homes at least. I mean, the pictures look like it's just completely devastated, but 24 people were confirmed dead. Next week we will go in much more in depth with what's happened over there. We'll have more first-person information. We're going to be looking at a lot of different areas, including, you know, what's going on with our weather. Lots of changes are happening, trying to analyze that. So that's next week. This week, about a good solid hour or so of our show, we're going to be talking about the Department of Land and Natural Resources nominee Carlton Ching. It's a very, very big deal how we handle our natural resources, and so we have a department head being nominated for tomorrow. Then we're going to kind of go towards the later part of the show with some of our homegrown solutions that we're doing around here. And so a couple of events that are coming up that I'd like for people to be aware of. We have the Regeneration Seed and Plant Exchange coming up this Sunday at Inaho, that's right next to in Kilauea, right next to Kauai Mini Golf, from 12 to 5 on Sunday. It's like a big plant sharing. I kind of think of it as like a plant potluck, seed and plant exchange. Lots of music, lots of fun, and when we're going to be right there, the folks from the Mini Golf, they're going to be right behind us doing all kinds of wonderful sharing and places to learn. The water resource management meeting, very important for people to attend and pay attention to that. I will definitely be there. That's this Thursday, 6:30 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. There's also on Thursday, and that's at where in the county building where the Planning Commission meetings meet. Resort land auction, that's happening at 1 o'clock on Thursday, and that's at the Marriott Courtyard, and it's kind of a big deal, really, when I'm going to be there and watch what's going on, too, because how we handle our land. This is private land when we're talking about the Department of Land and Natural Resources. That's public land, but how we deal with our private land is a very big issue also. So, and then, Marshall, I want to make sure that you're all mic'd up okay.
Aloha.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay, so we see that we've got him in there, too. All right, so both Marshall and Eric have been following the Carlton Ching nomination right along with me, and that is been in front of the Senate Water and Land Committee.
Right. The Senate Water and Land Committee is the people who determine who gets put in for the DNLR chairman, correct?
They are among the people who vet. They go through, and they said no. It's a board of 7, 5 no, 2 yeses. One of those, Senator Ihara, he was yes with reservations, meaning he didn't want him in there, but, you know, he wasn't, he was no with reservations. So, that is what happened last week, but it goes for the whole Senate tomorrow at,
I think, 10 in the morning. Yeah.
10 in the morning. So the whole Senate is gonna weigh in on that. So do you want to start us off? Why don't you talk a little bit about your understanding of what the Department of Land and Natural Resources. Your background is in science.
Yeah, my background is biological. In tropical conservation, biology, and environmental science. Graduate myself. So Department of Land and Natural Resources oversees the majority of the land here in the state of Hawaii, approximately, I believe, 80%.
I think it's about 6 million acres. That's
okay.
When we were looking, and it's actually more than just the land. It goes out into
the sea. So we're not just talking about Aina-based things out in the forest or on our rangelands. We're talking about our streams, our estuaries, our coastal resources. So we're talking about our reefs, our beaches, our fisheries. So as far as I'm concerned, or as far as I know, the Department of Land and Natural Resources is to oversee and protect these resources as a public trust. So to make sure that all these natural resources, whether it's clean fresh water, clean air, forest, cultural resources that we get from our forest, the piklay, our aquatic species, are all supposed to be protected and perpetuated for the people of Hawaii in public trust, which is what the DNLR's mission, not exactly quote, but that's what they're meant to do. Yeah.
We can pull the mission statement up in a moment. And that actually, you mentioned the Public Land Development Corporation, that's called the PLDC, and that came up as a very big deal a couple of years ago. We were focused heavily on it here. The Public Land Development Corporation almost happened in secret. It was picked a board of 5 people. Basically, a quorum is 3. You can have 3 people making these decisions for all of the state. And it was redirecting the goal instead of preserve in the public trust, it redirected it to be exploit for
right. So
revenue.
The DNLR with the Public Land Use Development Corporation, which worked within the DNLR, I believe, it was its whole reason for existing was to promote the private sector on development projects for underused state lands. So that could be anything from, oh, you know, we're not using our forest right now for a wood plantation. Maybe there's some kind of other way we can diversify revenue on state lands. And that's kind of what they're looking at in terms of utilization of state lands with the Public Land Use Development Corporation.
Right. And so last time when Governor Abercrombie came in, one of the first things that happened was the Public Land Development Corporation came in to play a development on Oahu called Ka'aka'ako, came in also too, and it seemed like he brought that without mentioning it from Washington, D.C. He had been our representative over in Washington, D.C. He came over, and then there was all this high revenue generating efforts. Now, in all fairness, Hawaii's broke, so we need to figure out a way to make money, but do we really want to just basically be exploiting the place to be
right.
creating that? So many people panicked. I know a lot of people, including myself, I did vote for Neil, the first time Governor Abercrombie. And I was really, really gravely disappointed when he made these choices right away and we were looking at exploiting our lands. And these are our most pristine lands. Some of them are important lands that are commercial and revenue generating, like Sand Island or the wharf and the boat harbor down there at Ala Moana. I mean, there are places on this island that would be inclusive of Nui'iliuli.
Nui'iliuli Harbor, yeah.
And even Wailua Marina.
Yeah, Lili. And Hanapepe Boat Harbor down there.
Mm-hmm. Port Allen.
Port Allen, the boat harbor down there in down there, down South Shore, what is that one? Over by
Kukui'ula?
Kukui'ula.
And
yeah.
Then we have the state harbors, I mean, the state parks. There's a lot of Kuleana that the DLNR has, the Department of Land and Natural Resources. So, we're going to be hearing some directly. I don't usually play clips from recordings, but I'm going to play a little bit from the hearing between Senator Laura Thielen. What was very important with Senator Laura Thielen, she used to be the head of the Department of Land and Natural Resources under Governor Linda Lingle. And so she is very experienced in what that would be. Governor Linda Lingle was a Republican governor, had a reputation for actually being really pro-development, did some things to sell some of the Hawaiian home assets, Hawaiian land assets, so there was a lot of challenges with that. So we have Laura Thielen being much more protective than what presumably might be becoming either with what was the Public Land Development Corporation or now with this representative from the development industry, Carlton Ching.
Right.
And he was on the board of something called the Land Use Research Foundation, which works pretty heartily in the interest of developers.
Right. So the LURF, or the Land Use Research Foundation, from my understanding, they are a research institution that is trying to advocate for the development sector in Hawaii by looking to fast-track development by overstepping laws that are already here in Hawaii and trying to streamline that process. More or less, that's actually what their mission statement says, to streamline the process of getting development done in a quicker way by which was essentially overstepping laws that we already have here and established guidelines for how procedures need to be done in the state.
And so we had across all the islands community efforts, much on social networking, marches, movements, protests, working very diligently to upend the Public Land Development Corporation. And there was success in having that happen. I believe one of the main reasons it was able to succeed, whereas dislodging unwanted aspects of the Agribusiness Development Corporation has been very difficult, is because it was done. We removed the PLDC before a bunch of contracts were set in place. So it was easier to stop what had already been put in place. But after a big fight, that was repealed. And then now, after the repeal, what is part of the challenge is that when they put somebody who is a lobbyist in charge of the entire Public Land Development Corporation, I mean, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, it's like the PLDC almost on steroids. So we have that challenge. I am going to be playing a little bit from Laura Thielen, speaking to him, and it's not a perfect...
Speaking to Carlton Ching, yeah.
Speaking to Carlton Ching. So we're going to give this a try here. I might not have enough volume available on this. I've got it all the way to the top, maxed out here. I'm hoping that we can make this work. It's all right. Well, maybe we need to move past that. That's too bad. Trying to get that one to have the right amount of sound here. I'll try one last little bit. Hold on. Okay, I see what's going on here. So we'll work on this a little bit.
So pretty much what we're hearing from what we wanted to kind of show you guys or try to have you guys listen to is kind of what the interrogation process that went on for this man, Carlton Ching, who is going to be the who has been nominated by Governor Ige to be the chairman for the Division of Land and Natural Resources. So the Division of Land and Natural Resources' mission statement is to enhance, protect, conserve, and manage Hawaii's unique and limited natural, cultural, and historic resources held in public trust for current and future generations of the people of Hawaii Nei and its visitors in partnership with others from the public and private sectors. So Governor Ige is looking to appoint a new chairperson to the DNLR, and the person that he has nominated is a man named Carlton Ching, who has had a history of being an active lobbyist for the development sector here in Hawaii, and has also worked with one of the biggest developers in Hawaii for years, Castle and Cook. Castle and Cook has done everything from the urban sprawl in Mililani to a plethora of different projects around the islands. They at one point were in control of the island of Lanai. And so this man, Carlton Ching, was nominated by the state, or by Governor Ige, to be our new chairman. And and one of the things that happened is with his history here in the state of being a developer is that the Senate has interviewed him at great lengths for about 2 days, questioning his ability to be the chairperson for the DNLR here in the state of Hawaii. And we're hearing a lot of different public outcry. The Board of Water and Land Resources, which is partly responsible for making sure whoever becomes the Department of Land and Natural Resources chairperson voted against Carlton Ching to become chairperson of the Department of Land and Natural Resources in a 5-2 vote. You know, a lot of other people within the state have been submitting testimony saying that they are against the nomination of Carlton Ching. Tomorrow at 10 a.m., the Senate is going to vote on this matter. And so if any of you have any thoughts about this, I would urge you guys to all write in.
Yeah, or people can communicate that whether you're for or against.
Right.
For or against. I'm going to try it again. Sorry, everybody. I'm going to try to see if I got my computer working on this to be able to play it.
So during that time of your tenure on the Land Use Research Foundation, you had mentioned something about how you'd never been a part of a company that says, let's find ways to get around the law. But LRF advocated to keep the Public Land Development Corporation, and that advocacy took place over a significant amount of time. So can you tell me why you supported keeping the Public Land Development Corporation?
Me personally, I did not support the PLDC. I think LRF took the position, and I'll have to defer to LRF.
I'm sorry, but when you say you have to defer to LRF, the executive director of LRF under the bylaws is hired by the board of directors, correct? And is an employee of the board of directors?
That's correct.
Okay.
But I can't tell you what he said in testimony. I hadn't seen it.
Well,
quite honest with you.
Regardless of whether you saw the specific testimony or not, the executive director acts at the direction of the board of directors as the employee. That's why they call you directors, right?
He has the latitude to make many decisions on his own as executive director.
So over this period that the public was having the debate about the Public Land Development Corporation, that took place over the course of about a year when the organization was going out and doing draft rulemaking and then was swept up through the legislative session. So over this 11-month period of high public attention on the Public Land Development Corporation, LRF was one of the few organizations that was testifying in public meeting after public meeting, rulemaking sessions in front of the Board of Land and Natural Resources and in front of the legislature to keep the Public Land Development Corporation. Why was that?
I guess it's to have what their mission talks about, reasonable, rational, equitable land use planning and legislation. Perhaps they felt that was reasonable and rational.
Well, again, LRF is, you are on the board of directors, so I don't think it's something that you can hold as arm's length from you. And so if the position then of LRF is that the Public Land Development Corporation is reasonable and rational development, can you describe how that organization was reasonable and rational development?
I think the discussion there is about the land entitlement process and how long it takes.
Mm-hmm.
So it goes back to LUC and zoning. And as you know, it's a lineal process. You have to go to the state land use first. There's an environmental process involved. And then you go to the county zoning process. So it's very lineal. But what I've come to understand that in the process, there's a lot of duplicative efforts. At the LUC, they're asking state and county agencies to comment. At the zoning area, they're asking state and county agencies to comment. So, in the effort of streamlining, can that be brought together to do that? I'm not sure what the PLDC was intending to be quite honest with you. LRF supported it, as you say. I don't know what they said. Gaston Cook did not support the PLDC.
But you're on the board of directors of LRF during this entire period. Okay.
So I understand what you're saying. I can't distance myself because I'm associated with them, but I can tell you that we don't account for every action that the executive director takes.
So
that's a little sample of what was kind of going on in there. We'll hear another clip or two, but what we're seeing in that is that to me, he's either evading intentionally or he is completely not present in a job that's very important. Right.
Great. So what we're hearing from him is that, oh, I wasn't there.
I don't know.
Right. I never know nothing. And, you know, when you're in a leadership position, whether you was there or not, you gotta know what's going on, or else you're not one leader already. So kind of scary that someone in their past history dealing with land use development say he never know nothing when, you know, he's the boss. You kind of need to know something.
That's right. And you know, like, this is a pretty... I actually watched all of the testimony through it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 7 hours on one day and... you know, three or four the next day. It was really quite a bit of time put in there. There was people who did testify really like him a lot.
Right.
Mostly those are people who were his friends, who worked with him in the development industry. I don't doubt that he's pretty competent in that particular aspect
right.
of it.
You know, I think the issue is, you know, the DNLR, which I will... Let's see here. Repeat again what their mission statement is: to protect and conserve and manage Hawaii's unique and limited natural, cultural, and historic resources. And, you know, this man definitely doesn't have a background in management of natural resources or conservation, regardless of whatever his competence is. So one has to ask whether he's the right person for the job.
Now, an interesting piece in here is that Laura Thielen, Senator Laura Thielen, who is discussing this with him or interviewing him, she used to be the head of the DLNR, the Department of Land and Natural Resources, so she very much knows her, you know, her material here. So she has a decided advantage on him. Different from some of the other nominees, he does not have a science background. He does not have an area that brings the most important strength of the preservation aspects into it. This isn't a part of his...
Yeah, he's never done anything conserving cultural resources or our biological resources, our aquatic resources. If anything, he's looking at how to manipulate those resources for exploitation, for development, it seems like has been his past history. I don't want to call someone out on that, but just, you know, you look at the records and that's kind of where he's at with things.
So one of the questions that was asked is, how do we, you know, what is the right qualifications? What do we need? And so do we need a scientist? I saw that Don Heacock wrote a really profound letter saying, almost never do we have a leader for the Department of Land and Natural Resources with a science background, which is a really essential piece. Here we're getting somebody with a strong business background, which arguably also could have some validity in the need for that. I did go ahead and call many of the senators trying to find out where their positions were. Other than the ones that had made a very strong statement at the Senate Land and Water Commission, it seemed like everybody was not having their staff even give away their position. They were saying, I don't know, they haven't decided. There's a lot of this real middle ground. I want to... acknowledge our Senator Ron Cochi. He did call me. He spoke to me for about 15 minutes on this. I wanted him to... he starts his cough, and I mimicked it. No worries. So he called and talked to me a little bit about this. He had not yet fully decided on what he's doing. He is meeting with the governor in the morning. He did bring up some concerns relative to those pieces I was speaking of earlier, where it is the part of the DLNR that actually makes money, the parts with, you know, the boating and the shipping industry, that is that part of it, the wharfs, where the money is. And, you know, he was bringing up that is that part has been consistently mismanaged. And as an island state, that we really need to have really strong infrastructure in there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I just want to give that acknowledgement that that he brought out those important points. I personally, you know, I was watching a video here. I saw something on TEDx, and this guy, Sam Gahn, who I haven't even heard of before, but you're familiar with him?
Yes. Sam Gahn is, he works for the Nature Conservancy. He is a trained ecologist, PhD ecologist, working in Hawaii for, I believe, the last 25 years. And he is the Nature Conservancy, which is one of the biggest environmental protection conservation groups in the state. He is the head senior scientist for Hawaii and also the cultural advisor for Hawaii in the working for the Nature Conservancy. So Sam is not only a cultural practitioner, he's a trained ecologist that worked very deeply in every Hawaiian ecosystem I could think of, from Big Island all the way out to the Northwest Hawaiian Islands. I would say that he's not just a scientist, he's not just a Hawaiian, he thinks Hawaiian typically, which is maybe one of the directions that I think we all need to be going here, synthesizing a syncretic view of both indigenous epistemologies with that of non-indigenous sciences.
And looking for where we're going in the future. You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, K-A-Q-A, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And in the studio with me, speaking, is Eric Hansen. We also have Eric Cannon and Marshall. And we are discussing the Department of Land and Natural Resources candidate nominee, Carlton Ching, and his appropriateness for the job. Well, when I saw Sam Gahn's speech on TEDx, and it was probably done in Maui, he articulated what I feel like what we need to see. I do want to give a caveat. I appreciate the Nature Conservancy,
mm-hmm.
and one of their biggest funders is the biotech industry, right? They've come under a lot of crossfire for that, so when we know that he's with the Nature Conservancy, that doesn't mean he is with the absolute far end of the continuum on preservation. It is still an organization that is supported by both sides of that balance, right? The agricultural
right.
balance. Their big funders is, I believe, Monsanto. Is that correct? I'm pretty sure that that is. At least they do some substantial funding. And Marshall is going to look that up. So I want to play a little bit from Sam Gahn, and this would be about 4 or 5 minutes, but it gives you a taste of a different perspective. We heard something from Carlton Ching. Now we're going to hear something from Sam Gahn. When we hear, there isn't, you know, good alternatives.
I need to begin by acknowledging my training in dual worlds. I graduated out of Western Academia as a PhD ecologist, and I've enjoyed a 35-year career in conservation in Hawaii. I was also traditionally trained by a remarkable master of chant and ceremony, Kumujan Keola Maka Ainana Lake, who put me through the uniki rites of passage to emerge as a kahuna ka kalaleo, a Hawaiian chant practitioner. This dual training is pivotal in what I want to share today. It's a story of salvation of the world in the microcosm that exists in the remarkable archipelago called Hawaii. The Hawaiian Islands can boast more ecological diversity in a single location than any place on Earth. And I've had the great privilege and joy of exploring this diversity from end to end of the island chain. Far from the cliche of white sandy beaches and swaying palm trees, in Hawaii you can go from geologically fresh, gentle, uncarved slopes to the tallest sea cliffs in the world. From lands that were created just this morning, barren and devoid of life, to climax forests supporting thousands of species, from cinder lands as dry as any of the world's deserts to arguably the wettest spot on Earth. from coastal dunes at sea level to snow-capped volcanic summits just shy of 14,000 feet. Couple this remarkable habitat diversity with extreme isolation, and you'll find the species that evolved here are unlike anywhere else on the planet, co-adapted and balanced and forming an amazing array of ecosystems. The Holdridge Life Zone system is one of the classic ways of cataloging global ecosystem diversity. 38 different life zones are used to comprise the full range of habitats on the planet. Life zones such as tropical rainforest, frozen tundra, super arid desert, temperate steppe, and so on. So now let's do an unfair comparison. Brazil, the largest country on the continent of South America, spanning 40 degrees of latitude, over 8.5 million square kilometers, from the heart of the Amazon to the foothills of the Andes, it packs a hefty 17 Holdridge life zones. That's the record for the continent of South America. Hawaii, in comparison, 4 degrees of latitude, less than 17,000 square kilometers, and yet comprised of 27 Holdridge life zones. Let's hear it for Hawaii. It is the single most habitat-rich place on the planet. Put another way, if you wanted to choose one place on Earth to represent the full range of ecosystems that the planet can offer, it would be the Hawaiian Islands. So rather than looking at Hawaii as tropical and insular, which are kind of limited ways to look at things, here's another way to look at it. Just about any terrestrial life form on Earth could find its optimal conditions, its sweet spot, somewhere in the Hawaiian Islands. And that meant awesome opportunities for our Hawaiian ancestors that arrived in the islands about a millennium ago. For 1,000 years, they not only survived, but thrived, achieving populations rivaling those of today, yet completely independent from the rest of the world, creating one of the pinnacles of Polynesian societies, excelling at a wide range of arts. 1,000 years of fine-tuning to this remarkable island environment. And then, contact with the Western world. Post-contact history has not been kind to either Hawaiian ecosystems or Hawaiian culture. I've dedicated my life to the preservation and management of the remarkable biocultural diversity that exists in these islands, and part of my task is to know what we had, what we've lost, and what remains. Through the science of landscape ecology, we actually have a good idea of the remarkable range of ecosystems that once covered these islands from coast to summit. In the times before people with 100% native ecosystems, through the era of pre-contact Hawaii, say 300 years ago, pink is where people lived and worked. Pink is where they displaced the ecosystems, establishing their own ecological footprint on the land. Against our footprint of today, huge and blithely, grindingly destructive, a scant 235 years after Cook encountered the islands in 1778, and 85% of our native ecosystem cover has been lost. And at the same time, our self-sufficiency has plummeted to 15% or less. That means that 85% or more of our needs are imported these days. And if that importation of goods were to stop, we are just 3 weeks from famine. It bears repeating, footprint of less than 15% back then against 70% or more today, and 100% self-sufficiency back then against less than 15% today. When we were doing this Hawaiian footprint project, my academic self was reveling in the multidisciplinary combination of archaeology, plant physiology, geospatial modeling, and topographic analyses. But my traditional training allowed me to delve deeply into the ancient knowledge systems. These were describing the islands before 1778, the native Hawaiian descriptions of the agricultural areas, the fish ponds, the religious sites, the trails, the storied localities, the centers of chiefly governance, and all the other areas of traditional use. And that information corroborated the academic findings like magic, and it confirmed the light Hawaiian footprint on all islands. So what was it that allowed hundreds of thousands of people to thrive in a limited island system without destroying their environment or losing their self-sufficiency. In the ancient Hawaiian...
Cut that off wrong. A great question to end with, though, there. What made it work in the past, and how can we make it work in the future? And he goes on to really speak well about the blending. And if people want to see that, it's a TEDx Maui. It's Lessons from 1,000 Years of Island Sustainability. And it's on the Kauai Soapbox Facebook page and on Felicia's Facebook page. So he makes some really excellent points.
Yeah.
And we need to look at how do we have the balance. So we're looking at Carlton Ching is really heavy with business. Now, when we look at Sam Gunn, who I don't believe is really up for consideration on this, but there we see somebody who has a strong understanding of the cultural piece and the science piece.
Natural resources, cultural resources, historic resources, the three components of what the DNLR's mission statement is to protect for the people of Hawaii in perpetuity.
Perpetuity.
Yes.
That's right. And so when I look here, who he has nominated for the deputy director is a man named Keikoa Kaluhiva. Do you know him? Are you familiar with him?
No, I do not.
Handsome young man. He is a registered lobbyist for Young Brothers and Horizon Lines. So that is a good background for the business aspect of dealing with shipping. He also has been the spokesperson for First Wind, which is the solar wind farms. He's been involved in that. Castle and Cook, who Carlton Ching worked with, also very strong with wind farms.
Just to clarify, Carlton Ching still works for Castle and Cook, but is temporarily taking a leap of absence from his position pending his
confirmation. That's right. So he's on a leave of absence. He's recently left the different boards. He's on the BIA too.
So he's on the board of the Land Use Research Foundation and the BIA, which is the Building Industry Association. Now, both of these groups have lobbied hard to change land use and historic preservation rules. And so if you have someone like Carlton Ching, who's already has this background of working with development groups such as Castle and Cook, Molokai'i Ranch, SFFM International, Zane Development Group, Tropic Shores Realty, it seems like this man's going to be in line to change some of the DNLR's legislation to make land use and historic preservation laws change for the favor of development.
The BIA, the Building
Industry Association.
They had a logo out that had SHPD, which is the State Historic Preservation Division, with a circle and an X through it. And the BIA was about removing SHPD. And so it's interesting that a person on the board from that is now going to be the head of the overseer of SHPD.
And how's this for one? Is in 2005, this guy Ching, Carlton Ching, he argued to diminish the powers of the state's land use commission, an agency, you know, that pretty much is necessary to contain our growth here in Hawaii.
Well, yes, David Ige has been working to remove the land use commission, and that was something that went before the Senate.
And the land use commission helps designate which kind of zones we have for things, whether it's important agricultural lands, forested lands, et cetera, et cetera. Change from rural area to urban area, stuff like
that. Right, and that goes across all the islands. So there is some duplication because there is county planning and then that state land use. Now, we have a caller. Let's go ahead and take the call. Thank you. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, yes. I was listening to your program, and, Sam Gunn is such an exceptional candidate. You would think he would be one of those, or even somebody like a Nainoa Thompson, but what you're having is the same political hacks. They're all you're trying to let the fox in the hen house, so to speak.
Well, I'm in agreement with that, although Carlton Chang corrected it, and he said, I'm like the bulldog for the people. So that was his way of rebutting it.
Yeah, he said he wasn't the fox in the...
He was the bulldog.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the other one, it could be the bulldog, but maybe a wolf in sheep's clothing, right?
Yeah. I will say that, you know, he went through a really grueling cross-examination. It restored a little bit of my faith in governance to see the kind of questions and what was brought out, but I was really discouraged to see what was brought out and to see that he is, in fact, the candidate.
Well, the other thing you got to ask yourself, too, if you have a committee that feels all the... these questions, but yet in the bylaws of the state of Hawaii, he's still got to go through the full Senate. So then you got Iggy lobbying and so to speak, like ho-mulling-mulling all these senators to so why even have a committee?
Well, the committee vets him. So the committee's job was to ask the hard questions, and then that's been fluffed to the surface. And I actually don't have a real difficult time with that process. Of course, because I'm in agreement with what I'm exposing my bias, claiming my bias. I'm concerned that this person isn't the right man for the job. The committee comes up with something, but then it's up to the people to tell their own senators, hey, we agree, we don't agree, thumbs up, thumbs down, and then that big vote is going to be tomorrow.
I see.
And I do want to say that... one of my Akamai listeners posted for me, and they have now, it will be on Olelo, Channel 49 tomorrow, and it's going to be at 11:30. So if people go to olelo.org, which is the Oahu Public Access Channel, that people can watch it, and I certainly will watch it. And we'll see what the different senators have to say.
Yeah, I just kind of think the process sometimes is more politically, you know, why would this guy get 9 hours of grueling, you know, and the governor wants to get this guy in here. I was like, well, it seems like the whole thing is stacked against the very people who voted for this guy, Iggy, you know.
Yeah. Seems that way to me.
Anyway, I go listen. Thank you for your time, your show.
Okay. Well, thank you for calling in.
Okay. Aloha.
Aloha.
So the caller brought up some really good mana'o and thinking about, you know, how the cards are stacked. And one of the things that, you know, we've talked about in Hawaii for a while now is the Honolulu Rail Project. And, you know, part of the thing that the rail project needs to do to move forward is to acquire lands for... doing the rail project.
Ah, yes.
And so it's not clear how much land the DNLR controls in terms of these public, in terms of the public land where they're trying to do for the rail development here. But one of the things is that, let's see here, Senator Donovan Dela Cruz is introducing a bill that would allow the state to explore giving land along the rail line in exchange for up to 18,000 acres of fallow pineapple land on central Oahu and on the North Shore that the Dole Food Company currently is trying to sell. So the Dole Food Company is also an associated company with Castle and Cook. So it's kind
of... Right, so a land swap. And
a land swap, okay. Which is part of, you know, a development thing to move forward a project which some people already have questionable ethics about.
So we're speaking conflict of interest here.
Yeah, guarantee.
So we have another caller who called in to 826-7771. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, Felicia.
Yes, can you turn your radio off, please?
This is Auntie Louise.
Hi, Auntie Louise. Hey, lots of love to you.
I just wanted to say, I'm sorry you didn't get on the county council, but we really need you in this position because, you know, you bring the facts to the table and, you know, open up people's minds to kind of hear all the information. So I just wanted to say, I'm sorry you didn't get on the county council, but I appreciate you where you're at right now because this is what we need. And you're good at it.
Well, thank you so much. And Auntie Louise, I want to thank you for all that you do. And right now, having just lost a beloved son, still yet you're thinking about the people, and I want to acknowledge that too. So love to you, love to Jeremy.
And no disrespect to anybody, but, you know, it's always been, the joke has always been Castle and Crook and da-da-da and stuff, you know, and as long as we still have the same people or that kind of people in, you know, getting into
key positions.
Position, yes, then we'll be in the same spot, you know, depression, oppression, and depression, you know, so I think we got to ask the kahuna, you know, that is along that railroad to Eala'e Kahikie and
wake up, everybody, yep.
Yeah, and they need to, you know, even the Ibi, you know, it's so much desecration is happening as we speak.
That's right. The bones are very, very important,
yes,
in our history.
You know, so maybe, you know, everybody, if you're Hawaiian, you know, or if you feel you're Hawaiian, you can, you know, just light those spirits up and let them do the work also.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Much love.
Okay. Aloha, everybody, and I'll see you on the 29th.
Yes, 29th at 3 o'clock? 12 o'clock.
Pine trees.
12 o'clock.
Gather at 11.
11.
And the services start at 12.
For Jeremy Ledward, your beloved son. Yes.
We're going to have the paddle out and potluck for you now after. So, yeah.
I'll be there.
Okay. Love you guys.
Love you.
Love you, Auntie.
Okay. Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Aloha. You know, Auntie, she brings up good points that, you know, we need to kind of, I think, kind of to sum it up is to look to the future. We got to look to the past and in terms of all our management decisions. And, you know, especially when it comes to something like the division of land and natural resources, which is their mission is to protect and preserve our cultural, our historical, and our natural resources. And the only way to do that, especially here in Hawaii, is to go with the knowledge that we've known for years that's always worked. And that's to look back to our past to go to the future. And definitely incorporating more Hawaiian epistemologies and knowledge and ike of things is really what's important. And it's kind of hard for me to swallow. And I think a lot of people, I think there was over 7,500 people that at least said that they weren't for Mr. Carlton Ching being...
Well, that was the petition.
Petition, okay.
But there was about 900 letters that had gone in.
Holy shit,
yeah, and that was as of last week.
Right,
and,
right.
I mean, you know, there was at least 100 letters for him, though, too. You know, so there was some for him.
Right, right. You know, and I think it's good to, you know, maybe have a business background, but... You know, when your mission statement is to protect the cultural, historical, and natural resources, and you don't even have one background in that at all, whether it's taking even a college course or sitting down and doing some volunteer work with the community and understanding these nuances, I don't know already.
Well, let's hear what our next caller has to say at 826-7771. Aloha, you're on the air.
Okay, well, you guys can hear me.
I can hear you.
Oh, I just wanted to say, well, Brother Jeremy had passed away.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's a bit older than me, but I used to play soccer with him when I was young. He was a mean soccer player.
Yeah, the Hawaiian. He's a good guy.
Yeah. Oh, sad to hear that. I'm sorry. That was a bummer just hearing that.
We lost three wonderful people a couple weeks ago. Auntie Darcel.
Well, sorry to hear that. And maybe I can try to get out there Saturday. I don't know, but I'm... The other thing I wanted to say is, I understand the push against this Ching fella.
Mm-hmm.
What I want to point out is that this game of trying to convert isn't new. We dealt with this through the DLNR's office with the cocaine issue in the past.
The game of trying to convert what? Or did you say
resources into either
make money.
money for them directly or through another agency in the sense of a corporation, kickback, whatever.
Okay.
But if you want to do timeshares, okay.
Right.
I don't know if you remember that.
Well, they were going to put a hotel up there, a resort up there. There's a lot of different efforts that have come up.
And stuff like that. It was a little bit more. In fact, I didn't mind the motel, to be honest. I wouldn't mind more direct lodging right there at the park. That would have been fine. I actually, even though I get access to other cabins, I still rent those cabins. But that's another story. But now that the eyes are open of the public, you know, it's not as easy to just do those things. As you guys noticed, you know, with Felicia's work going over and beating the PLTC and whatnot. But even before her unprecedented work, you know, I was part of the guys trying to see things every time on the issue. You know, I mean, even the water issue, you know, this well tornado. I never see nobody at the beginning meetings when I went on record. There was only like 20 people in the meeting. It was only after the GMO meeting and everybody went over. But that's not what I'm going to say. What I'm pointing out is, why are you guys all grumbling about this Ching character? You know, they approved on the first pass their head of the prison board. And if you guys do even one little scratch on the surface of that fella, now that's the guy I'm worried about.
That's Doug Chin. And we've spoken about him a little bit, and I'm going to have Justin Kohler on the show in about a month or so. And I was concerned that this particular individual also was a lobbyist for the Correctional Corporations of America. And both our prosecutor and our assistant prosecutor feel like this man has done absolutely amazingly positive things. So I'm gonna need to lurk deeper underneath it.
They're outsourcing our prison system and doing it commercialized.
Yep.
And I think he's a little bit more than just a lobbyist, if I remember what I read. I mean, he wasn't just a lobbyist. I think he at one point worked for them or something. Mm-hmm. I think that's more than a lobbyist if you actually worked for them at one point.
Well, he was a registered lobbyist for them when he was nominated.
Should make that illegal. We need to pass legislation banning that.
Well, I mean, that is a big issue. There's been three people who were lobbyists for the industry that now they are going to be. If
my point is that I don't know, when you guys got this whole, you know, anti-Qing thing going on, I don't know why it's not married with anti this other turkey. You know, that's what kills me is that, to me, is just like all these choices are bad, and I only hear one very loud anti-Qing.
Well, if you, I mean, at least for me, I have brought up the other candidate a couple of times on the show. It has been coming up. He has already been confirmed.
Whereas Qing, the thing is still pressing, and we can make a difference if we feel like it.
That's right. So
before tomorrow is done.
Before tomorrow, a difference could be made. But thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys, I'll be listening. I'm sorry to hear about Jeremy. That is just, that's a bad day right there.
That is.
Yeah, I'll wrap with you guys later, and I'll be listening. Thank you.
Okay,
who will?
So I want to mention, though, on the positive side, the three nominees to the land board. One of them is a man named Chris Yoon.
Yes, Chris Yoon.
Yoon.
From the Big Island, yeah.
Do you know him?
Sort of. So he used to be on the county planning board on the Big Island. Really, I would say more on the progressive, smart development side of things instead of just fast-tracking development. Not necessarily anti-development, but I would say smart development where, you know, if we're going to put in a project, let's think about all the resources here, whether it's the cultural resources, how this can improve the community, you know, what are the implications for our streams or our SOAR infrastructure. So he's a very Akamai man in terms of really thinking things in the forward direction.
I also noticed that Keone Downing, who I don't know recently very well, but in my surf time of my life, I knew him. He has Downing Hawaii. He's a shaper. Always been a really Akamai good guy. You know, he's in the water. I wouldn't put him at the head of the DLNR, but to have him on the board, I feel fine about that. I feel actually pretty good about that.
Right.
And there's another woman, Ulalia Woodside, and she has done a number of things. She was the manager for Natural and Cultural Resources at Kamehameha School's Land Assets Division.
Right. That's a big chunk of land right there, to tell you the truth. I mean, Kamehameha Schools is one of our biggest private landowners, mm-hmm. and so administering that much land resources is a big accomplishment.
And she was a commissioner for the Natural Art Area Reserve System Commission.
Right, which is the state's highest priority of conservation. So the areas with the most biological diversity, the most special forests, the Vawakua, stuff like that, are top watersheds. So that's kind of where the state puts most of its priority in terms of conservation at its key funding. So that's also a really big area to, you know,
and
manage.
And I see that she was a former executive council chair for the Pacific Islands Climate Change Cooperative, another really important thing. So when I look at the background of what these three individuals being put on the board, you know, really is quite strong.
You know, and it's interesting, too, because... someone like Carlton Ching, he definitely has some business-oriented things, and to acknowledge any kind of department, whether it's a private department or a government department, everything in one aspect runs like a business. And that's very important to have, but these other three people we just talked about are nominated for the board. They've also had business experience, but business experience relating to cultural resources, natural resources, and historic resources here in Hawaii.
That's right. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox. Felicia, Eric Hansen is in the house. So is Eric Cannon and Marshall. And this is the station that loves you. And Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Bali High Realtor and the Copper Man.
Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty in Hanalei, serving Kauai since 1978, providing personalized real estate sales and rental services. Coldwell Banker, Bali High Realty also supports KKCR and the Kauai Independent Food Bank. More information at balihigh.com or by calling 826-7244.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial, serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Moloa'a, K284AL, Haleiwa.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We really, really appreciate our underwriters. We really, really are thankful for Kauai Community Radio that allows just people from the community to come in here and discuss these topics. So we were just talking about the Department of Land and Natural Resources and then looking at what makes up a good board. And when we're looking at this individual, Carlton Ching, I've spent longer on this topic than I very often do on one individual speaking, and it's pretty clear my bias.
Sometimes you have
concerned.
To when 80% of your land is in question in the state of Hawaii.
That's true. And when I look at somebody like him, though, other than he didn't sell me when he's not paying attention to the actions of the executive director when he is the president and the vice president of the board. But if he was in a position like you just brought up about the corridor of the rail, if he was looking after a job like that, or if he was being appointed for the Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism, he might be excellent for that. We had an earlier caller question Doug Chin for being attorney general, but at least he's a lawyer with a strong history of being highly involved and active within the legal system of Hawaii and the court system. So there is some overlap, whereas here it would be like putting somebody completely outside of the legal system I don't want to say an inmate, but like the
having court, a math teacher teach English.
Well, it could be like that, yes. Or when you are having, it might be interesting actually if you had somebody with a strong criminal record to be being in charge of the court systems, because then you might have really profound reform. But like, he's coming from the industry that is
Carlton Ching's coming, yeah.
Coming from the industry that is supposed to be regulated. So you're taking the fox and putting them into charge of the hen house. It's certainly how it seems to me. What I listened to in the discussion was the sports analogy, and I'm going to claim I'm female, and I get less motivated by the football type of metaphors, but they were talking about, hey, I can change a jersey. You know, we could change jerseys, and you're on that team, well, then you're going to be on the other team. So if you've been on the side that's the defense and now you're switching to the offense or vice versa, it's still the same game. And my statement on that is, well, it's not a game, and the outcome of this is permanent. You know, you pave a big area of a natural area, you know, forest, it doesn't unpave very easily.
Yeah, you know, and the thing I kind of tripped out about hearing, you know, oh, I'm going to switch jerseys, and I wasn't sure exactly what he meant by that, but does that mean he's going to switch jerseys from being a pro developer to a pro activist in conservation resources? Or does that mean changing the jersey for the way that Department of Land and Natural Resources is from becoming something that preserves our cultural, natural, and historic resources to something that streamlines and fast-tracks development over superseding conservation and preservation acts?
Okay, well, that's a good question. And I hadn't thought of it framed that way.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, when you talk vague and talk politics like that, you have to kind of ask where these people are going. And, you know, someone like Carlton Ching, you know, he used to work for Castle & Cook, or still does, but is temporarily, you know, taking leave from that. Castle & Cook donated a pretty good amount of money to Governor Ige's campaign last fall. And, you know, Ching used to work for a rail contractor, SFFM International, which gave more than $29,000 last year to Governor Ige's campaign. So it's kind of interesting to hear that there's so much opposition, and then Governor Ige keeps on going forward and, you know, trying to make sure this guy is, I would say, just like Ching's trying to do fast-track things into getting done.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's concerning. I want to call attention to a bill coming before the Senate Ocean, Marine, and Hawaiian Affairs Subcommittee tomorrow. This is one that supports traditional Hawaiian agriculture and local food production. That is called SB 434. So that's a counter to, you brought up a bill that is, you know, fast tracking and moving, swapping land, and sometimes land swaps make sense, right?
Sometimes
land swaps make sense. And we also, though, have a bill here that is very much pro agriculture, pro Hawaiian background, lots of good things. We have another caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. This is Gary Hooser.
Hey, Gary Hooser. Nice to hear from you. I appreciate that you're calling in. Where are you at?
I'm sitting in my truck in the parked on the side of the road in Kapa'a, actually.
Oh, okay. And so today, I know you've been very active. You have been going. You were in Hawaii Island last week with the public. I mean, not the public land. We're talking about the Public Land Development Corporation with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. Today, were you over on Oahu?
You know, I had tried to go to Oahu, but I couldn't get on a flight, actually. So I spent my morning down at the airport in Lihue, but I've been communicating with people on Oahu all day about the Carlton Ching appointment that is scheduled for a vote in the morning.
I appreciated your testimony. I watched it on Olelo, Channel 49, where the vote will be tomorrow morning at 11:30. People can watch it there. Can you share your mana'o on this topic?
Sure, Felicia. You know, this is a very important position, as you know, Director of the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And the person that's been appointed is, you know, for the last 10 years or more, has been working as a real estate development lobbyist for the real estate industry. And my point when I first opposed him was that basically, you know, he looks to the world through a different lens than you and I do. And we all have biases. His bias is toward real estate development and making money, and ours is toward the protection of the resource. And so we basically look at the world differently, and I thought it was a very bad choice to choose someone that comes from a real estate development background to guard our natural resources and protect it. And then after he started through the process, it became very clear that he was just flat out unqualified. He didn't understand the department, how it works. He was not familiar with even the public trust doctrine.
That was my observation as well.
And so people from around the state have become more and more educated on this and have been rallying and speaking to their senators. So I think it's important that people speak to the senator who represents them in their district first and foremost, and that would be Senator Kochi here. I have not heard his position. I've sent emails like a lot of folks, and I'm hopeful that he will share our concern and vote no tomorrow.
I did speak with him for about 15 minutes this afternoon, and he is still weighing both sides of the issue, paying attention. It was clear that he had been reviewing it. He is very strong on following the economics of the state.
Mm-hmm.
Ron, from time to time, actually surprising amount of time, will in the end really represent the people. So that is what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, and I'm hoping also. Ron's very Akamai, and I think he does listen much of the time. The nominee, Mr. Ching, also is strong on the economics, and that's what's so scary about the whole thing, is that they're driven by, you know, so-called increasing efficiencies and how do you make money off the natural resources.
And branding, looking at our land as the branding of Hawaii. I had a really hard time with the vernacular, talking about stranded assets, a piece of dirt. It definitely spoke of the land as a commodity. So
exactly.
That was challenging for me to hear.
Yeah, and I agree. And there are some things, well, most public services aren't supposed to make money. We don't make money on lifeguards. We don't make money on police and fire departments. And so that's the definition of a public service and a public resource. The public has to pay for the upkeep and maintenance and operation.
That's a really, really good point. That would be like making public schools have to generate all their own funding.
That's right. That's right. And we need to step up as a public, as our government, and just bite the bullet and protect these resources properly as we do other public services.
And do you know much about, I really don't know very much about Keikoa Kaluhiva. Do you know him?
No, I don't. Well,
He is the deputy nominee, and, you know, looks like a very nice person in his picture here, although I don't know what looks really mean, but he also has this background in wind, and then he is, you know, a registered lobbyist for Young Brothers and Horizon Line, so I acknowledge that shipping is an important part of the DLNR, understanding how to deal with shipping, but it sounds like then we would end up with two individuals at the lead with a strength in that.
And I think just the practice of appointing people whose occupation are paid lobbyists is a bad precedent. Well, it's not a precedent because it happens far too often. But it sends a bad message to the public. There are enough people that are cynical about how government works, and when paid lobbyists are appointed to these kinds of positions, and the public just gets more and more disenchanted with government. We need to restore faith and confidence in government, not diminish it.
So, Councilman Hooser, I know that you are paying, obviously you're deeply involved right now in the county elements. You're paying a lot of attention to the state elements, and Can you give us a synopsis of what's happening in the state? I've been trying to follow it really closely. It seems like we have lost whatever protection we were trying to get from the state that is similar to what either Maui, Hawaii, or Kauai brought forward in their own county ordinances restricting agriculture. And so there was many bills that went to the state that had a similar type of format. Best I can tell, those have all been frustrated and stalled. Is that correct, or is any still left?
I think it's accurate to say that just about all of those bills are dead or stalled. All the bad bills that were attempting to take more power away from the county, I think those are dead.
The preemption bills, so they did not get it through. It's last I was there, I was at that ag subcommittee when Cliff Tsuji.
Yes.
Guys, even though there were so many people there, they stalled that effort to afford the county's protection.
Yes, so the preemption ones are dead, and the positive ones that we were hoping to get passed are mostly dead. There's one struggling along, one pesticide disclosure bill, but it is not, it was the weakest of all of them, and it's not likely to go forward.
Okay.
Which points to a flaw, if you would, or in the system, because it's not the substance of the measure so much as it is the power of Representative Tsuji as the chair of that committee. He's totally blocking it. So you have one person in the entire state legislature who's blocking the passage of this particular set of bills.
And last year we had Malama Solomon have that same experience. I mean, she had that same power. She blocked a whole lot of citizen efforts for sustainable agriculture. She did not get reelected. And one of the things I've seen through the social networking is there are door-to-door campaigns right now in Tsuji's neighborhood. People talking, hey, are you paying attention to what he's doing?
And, I've heard that also. And I think there's been an awakening these last 2 years, and I expect in 2016 to get more good candidates running in elections, new candidates, all over the state, because people have found their own power in this and are starting to exercise it, and I really applaud that when people step up and take on this challenge.
Yeah, I'm seeing an eruption of that on Facebook. That's a social networking area where this is happening, where people are making these commitments to themselves that if their senator votes in what they consider against the interest of the future of Hawaii, that they will run. I'm seeing this wave of people who are willing to run, and I think it's a very interesting dynamic that happens now that there is so much cross-communication from the islands. I don't remember 10 years ago and prior to that, that this kind of thing was happening.
I agree. I think the different islands are much more connected than they've ever been. The communication between Maui and Kauai and Hawaii and Oahu is just phenomenal, and it gets more so every day.
Can you give us a short synopsis of what happened on Hawaii Island with the Trans-Pacific Partnership discussions?
Actually, I spoke to a group that was related to the TPP issue only tangentially. It was a group of people that organized, and the topic was the increasing corporate influence on government and politics was the name of the forum.
Okay.
So it wasn't directly about the TPP.
So was it about the move to have a new amendment? The amendment 28, so that amendment, that would be reversing Citizens United.
Exactly. That was one of the main topics, and I was there just to talk about our experience with the four large chemical companies and those corporations and the tactics they've used to get increasing influence in our own government in Kauai County and around the state.
And so that is House Bill, I'm going to pull that up right in front of me. That's House Bill 52, is that right? What would I look for to find out where that's moving at?
You know, I'm not sure. It's probably a resolution.
Yeah, HCR, I think it's 52. I'm going to pull that up. On this capital.hawaii.gov site, it's really, you know, very great tool for people to use. And so that one, it seemed like it has moved past and being put, it looks like RIF. I'm looking right here. I'm not finding the right one. Right in.
Yeah, I think it's alive and moving forward. I'm not entirely clear of the process, but I know a certain number of states have to pass a similar or an identical measure, and then it gets dealt with, I think, in Congress. But it's an incredible problem, the money in politics. You know, we saw that on Maui with $10 million or more being spent against a ballot initiative there.
Citizens, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this was the first time, this first election that I'm aware of, that outside money got involved in council races, which happened in Hawaii County and on Maui also. Normally, council races are all local, relatively small money. But I think it's called Forward Progress. The Political Action Committee of the Carpenters Union got very involved in attacking pro-environmental candidates in Hawaii County and on Maui, Ellie Cochran and Margaret Willey.
Mm.
Both of them won, but there was a lot of money spent to defeat them.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate all you're doing, Councilmember Gary Hooser. Do you have any thoughts that I maybe haven't brought up? Is there anything you would like to communicate?
Well, I just want to communicate, Felicia, my appreciation for so many people in our community that are involved in the process and getting more involved every day, and encourage people to get involved, because it does make a difference. When you send that email, when you make a call, it does make a difference. You know, I've served in office for many years, and I can clearly say that people's voices do make a difference. They just have to use them.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you for all you're doing. Anything critical tomorrow at the council that people need to come for? I mean, everything's critical, but...
Right. Well, probably one of the biggest things we're talking about tomorrow, there's two things. One is the South Shore plan, but the other one is traffic. We have the Department of Transportation. I requested that they come and speak to the council about what they're going to do to resolve the east side traffic. It's incredibly bad, as people know, when there's an accident, but it's bad all the time. And so we've asked the Department of Transportation to come, and I'm hoping they can give us some good answers to provide some relief in the near future.
Okay. And then, you know, Ray McCormick has been really good at coming out to the community neighborhood associations, and so he's certainly somebody who is willing to work and communicate. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Felicia. Thanks to KKCR. Aloha.
All right. Aloha. We have another caller. Thank you so much for holding. You're on the air.
Hello, Felicia.
Hi.
I just wanted to bring up a little bit of a different aspect that's very much related to this whole thing. I'm concerned really a lot with David Ige. You know, I think he's a pro-business kind of a governor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why he picked... Dick Cheney. Now, a couple of years ago, actually last year, we had a hell of a time raising the wage of Hawaii, dealing with trying to increase the minimum wage. We finally got it up to 10.10 after 4 years by 2017. That's what it'll reach to by January 2017. And those of us that were fighting for the increase of the minimum wage, one of our biggest roadblocks was David Ige. You know, who is part of a finance committee,
mm-hmm.
along with Donna Mercado Kim. And he wanted to make it 5 years, but just to $10. But before that, he didn't even want it to $10 an hour. We had to fight him tooth and nail to get it. But what changed his heart, I shouldn't say heart, but what changed his mind was when Obama came out and called for a national increase to $10 an hour, you know. So the Democratic Party and the Democratic Party members had to kind of follow and fall in line. But we had a very, very difficult time dealing with increasing the minimum wage with David Ige. And he's very conservative when it comes to financial matters. And he only wanted it to come up to $10, you know, not 10-10. And, you know, 10 cents more seems like, you know, a drop in a bucket. But if you take a look at it, it's like $1,920 or more a year for a person who's working for the minimum wage, you know.
And when you really look at the minimum wage, yeah, how very, very difficult that is to, I think it went up by 50 cents an hour right now.
Yeah,
so that's 20 bucks. 20 bucks a,
it's pretty small.
A week.
You know?
I know we just had a salad with seared ahi on it, and it was for lunch, and it was about $18 at a takeout.
Right.
So it's like and one meal.
The workers don't get much, you know, and so the thing is that Ige fought us tooth and nail for the past 3 years. So we could have gotten a minimum wage increase a few years ago, but guys like Ige really fought us. He wanted to keep it down, and that forced some of the unions, you know, to not support him in the primary election because they were kind of concerned where he was going to stand. But to me, by him picking Carlton Ching, which is, you know, a super bad choice. It's like putting, you know, a fox in the hen house, you know, worse yet among them.
We're all using that same phrase, but it's a clear example.
But it's true, though, you know, and so it's by putting Carlton Ching in there, it's just an indication to me of where Ige lies, you know, and we're going to have to keep our eyes open on this guy, and you know, we're going to have to really watch him carefully, and I'm glad this movement has begun to, you know, for people to speak out against him being on the Department of Land and Natural Resources. And so, anyway, Gary was saying some good stuff, you know, like the world view of Carlton Ching is very, you know, pro-business for the guys that are the big landlords and the big developers. And I think Ige is right there with them, and we're going to have to keep our eyes on him as well.
Well, thank you for calling in.
Yeah, you know, I'm just concerned because I don't think he's really out there for working people, especially those on the very bottom, you know, because we've had experience with him, and I don't trust the guy. I think we've got to really watch him. Okay, take care.
Thank you for all that you do,
okay.
Ray.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Aloha, you're on the air. Thank you so much for holding.
Aloha, Felicia. This is Bridget Hammerquist.
Hi, Bridget.
Hi. To share with your listeners that Ron Cochi's office, Senator Cochi's office, is taking calls up until 5:30 today and between 8:30 and 10 a.m. And their number is 808.
Are you near your radio?
I am.
Can you
I'm
move
so
away
sorry.
From that?
Yeah, hold on.
So Ron Cochi is our senator that represents all of Kauai and Niihau, and so he is actively taking calls, and Bridget is going to give us that phone number.
It's area 808-586-6030, and they're there until 5:30 if you can dial today, and in the morning from 8:30 a.m. till 10 a.m. Senator Cochi wants to know how Kauai residents feel about having the proposed DNLR director confirmed. So he wants to hear from us on how we feel about Ching being responsible for preserving our important land and natural resources.
Thank you for sharing that. And I know you have had a high land focus.
A little bit.
Yes.
And
do you want to give us an update real quick? And let me say, you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Kauai Soapbox. I have Bridget Hammerquist from Friends of Mahalapu on the phone.
Yes. I would just offer that we're working hard, and people probably, some know from the Garden Island, others who don't get the subscription may not be aware, but Friends of Mahalapu filed a notice of intent to sue, and we named Grove Farm, Mahalapu Farms LLC, Ulupono Initiative, and Hawaii Dairy Farms. The notice of intent to sue was based on the fact that there's pollution underway from the site preparation. There's increased turbidity, meaning mud and dirt and junk in the waters going out into the ocean. There's already increased levels of nitrate, as well as bacteria counts that are extremely high, and that's been given a lot of good coverage by the Garden Island, thanks to the Kauai chapter of Surfrider and its Blue Water Task Force, which it teams with Department of Health, and Department of Health has confirmed the same numbers. So we're asking that those responsible parties get the necessary legally required permit for construction and discharge, the National Pollution Elimination Discharge System permit. They received letters from the State Department of Health, from Alec Wong, as recently as January 16th, and he's our Clean Water Branch Chief, and he told them that they need an NPDES, General Construction Stormwater Permit. If they don't have it, they're going to be subject to $25,000 a day fine by the state. Friends of Mahalapu's attorney, who's very well versed in the dairy pollution problems that are being experienced, significant problems all over the United States right now. Charles Tebbett Esquire joined with our Oahu-based legal people and filed a notice of intent to sue, which means in 60 days, if they don't get the stormwater permit, he's going to ask the court to impose fines back to the time the dairy started its grubbing and grading without the required state permit. They get to grade and grub with their county exemption under the county layer, but they also have to satisfy the Clean Water Act, which is the state layer, and they've just not done it. They applied for it. The state returned it to them, told them it was deficient, didn't have enough information. The state went back to them and said, where is it? Please get it in. The state said, you need to attach an oath of truthfulness, a statement of truthfulness as to the facts contained in your application, and the dairy just chose not to do it, but they're still preparing pastures, doing fences and digging wells, and they can't do that type of activity without a stormwater NPDES permit. Anyone who's ever done any construction on an island of any size knows that. And so that's what we're all about now. And we've just learned today, Felicia, it's pretty exciting and pretty scary at the same time, but the city of Des Moines, Iowa, filed a lawsuit against industrial farming that has polluted the city's water for 504,000 people. They filed a $100 million lawsuit. It's what it's going to take to get the nitrates out of their well water. They've got well water problems in Kiwanis, Wisconsin, New Mexico, Yakima, Washington, Whatcom County, Washington. They can't drink their water in their wells from dairy pollution. This is a real serious problem. And the EPA came out with a big study, which I secured a copy of today. It's 307 pages long. It was final in the end of 2012, and the EPA did an exhaustive, extensive study, and they told people, here's what the waste load equivalent is, and they said 699 cows make waste per day. It's equivalent of a city of 115,000 people. That's almost twice what this island has in the way of permanent residents. So we're going to make a pitch. Tomorrow we'll be before the county council and bring this information to light. We just want, you know, government officials, I know our local officials feel they can't act, but they can at least let the state know what they're learning, what our concerns are, you know, before the harm happens, before people are sickened, before our well water is gone. It's just a really important thing. And I encourage all your listeners, call and let Senator Cochi know how you feel about the proposed head of DNLR, because if we don't protect our natural resources, we can't rely on our government to do it, because they're not always operating with the proper motives.
So if they wanted to call 808-586-6030 after 8 o'clock tomorrow morning, some of his staff would be there, or maybe he's there to hear it. I do know that any of the senators have a recording on, and so people can simply leave their viewpoint for or against when they are calling in on a bill, and then the staff does do a count on that. So
Senator Cochi actually had a staff person there manning the phone till 5:30 today, and that gentleman, Jarrett, said that they would be manned also in the morning between 8:30 and 10 to take the calls from the island of Kauai. They want to know how we feel about the appointment.
Okay, that's great. And I it's after 5:30, so
right.
We've just crossed that. So thank you very much for all that you do. And I know it's a very energized group. I believe I saw that there's even somebody doing, you know, matching monies. But I probably
yes.
shouldn't speak too, or we shouldn't speak too directly to that on the air, but people, if they want to look at Friends of Mahalapu, you probably have information on that site. Is it
yes,
friendsofmahalapu.org?
That's it, friendsofmahalapu.org. And people have sometimes difficulty with the spelling. It's M-A-H-A-U-L-E-P-U, all one word, friendsofmahalapu.org. And there's a wealth of information on it. And I know we recently got a compliment even from an EPA official on the good stuff we've gathered. We're fact-based. We're trying to get the word out. We just want to protect our island.
And you as the leader are an accomplished attorney and a nurse and all kinds of things. So you're very, very well schooled in understanding how to, you know, look and research and create positive change.
Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for your time.
All right. Aloha.
Aloha.
All right, Eric Cannon, thank you so much. He brought in a rose for St. Patrick's Day. That's a beautiful thing. And Marshall, I want to make sure you guys get your voices in here just a little bit. We've got the Seed Exchange coming up. Do you want to share anything about that?
Seed Exchange, if you grow plants, the Seed Exchange is the place to be this coming Sunday. You show up, you can bring seeds or starts or cuttings if you like, or just show up empty-handed. And there is a great giveaway of seeds, starts, and cuttings that people have brought, also supplied by the Kauai Community Seed Bank, which is storing them up all year and for years just to share them out with the community. So it's a great place to be for that, and also just to meet, mix, mingle, get advice from, you know, most people who are in the farming community.
Other plant enthusiasts, and these seeds are island-adapted seeds. Eric Cannon, you like me, came to Seed Exchanges. Was that one of your entries into being the horticulturist that you are, or was that were you already into the planting before you went to a seed exchange?
Actually, before I went to the seed exchange, I had no idea what I was doing with gardening. I pretty much had a horrible yard and just wanted to change a bunch of buffalo grass into a nice garden. So I showed up at the seed exchange maybe, what was that, about 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm, and I think so.
Just started asking questions to all the gardeners around there and just started picking up plants and putting them in my backyard and turned a big overgrown patch of buffalo grass and howbush into an amazing garden. So, yeah, the seed exchange really was the start of everything for me as a gardener. And, yeah, if you've never been to one, I highly recommend it because it's always an amazing event.
So one of the things that's really amazing about the seed exchange here on Kauai is that what you had mentioned, Felicia, is locally adapted seeds. And so I'd like to kind of just emphasize what that is. So if you guys have ever ordered, you know, some seeds from a catalog or bought them from the store, you'd be like, ah, my tomatoes, they never did good. Well, maybe those tomatoes were developed in an area that isn't to your climate, whether that's in California, some dry side area of some island where things are growing, you're trying to grow them on the wet side. So what we have here at the Seed Exchange is we're considered locally adapted species. So to get to be locally adapted, essentially you find a seed that's, you know, you grow it, and then, like, let's say with pumpkins, you go pick whatever is the biggest, best looking pumpkin, right? And then you grow that seed, and then from those seeds, now the third generation around, you pick from those seeds. And so every time you're picking the best of each time your crop is growing, you're picking for the more favorable traits that grow in that area. So if you're having trouble growing tomatoes because, oh, all my seeds don't grow, maybe it's time to go look at locally adapted seeds. And the place to be for that, the resource, is the Seed Exchange.
And this Sunday is going to be at Ainoho, which is right there with the Kauai Mini Golf in Kilauea, from noon to 5. It's a lot of fun. Diane Ragone from National Tropical Botanical Garden is going to be one of the main featured speakers, but she's bringing, I think, 75 ulu or breadfruit trees. All kinds of really good stuff is there. It's like a potluck of plants. I know for me, it was transformational in my life, actually, going to one. And
empowering.
It was huge because I was very, very aware of everything that was going wrong. And then when I started planting the plants and I took a permaculture class and I saw how quickly my soil healed and how much it changed very fast, and me, I was able to just grow lots of food. It was shocking. We did a little film called Akamai Backyard to share that out with other people. It's on Vimeo. We had a powerful change, but I went from feeling a little bit, I don't want to say depressed, but overwhelmed with all the negative that was in the world. And when I saw how quickly you can change your life by growing food, it's powerful.
We just had a caller come in to let us know that on Monday, the 23rd of March, there'll be a meeting in Kekaha. The DLNR is going to inform the public of what their plans are for Polihale. He thought that it would be more of telling us what's going to happen rather than getting input on what we think should happen. That's what the caller was saying. He said that there's already been surveying done out there, and they seem to be fairly well along on whatever their intentions are. I don't know, but the meeting is on Monday the 23rd at 6 p.m. at the Kekaha Community Center.
Well, that's great. And it's always wonderful at these events when citizens get involved, whether it's the government asking citizens to get involved, like the water meeting that's going to be happening this Thursday, or the Polihale meeting, or when it's all citizen-led, like Regenerations. And the county... The county is actually working with us. We're doing a bioremediation grant that they're helping us to really do a little bit more training and to be doing a study to see how we take the toxicity out of the soil. Plants and microorganisms definitely do metabolize a lot of these contaminants, and if we do it carefully and we develop a science for doing it, we can undo some of what we're really concerned about.
I was just going to ask, when is the community council event? It's tomorrow. Where is it?
The county council.
Oh, I'm sorry, the county council.
It is tomorrow in the historic county building. Okay. And we're going to end this show with the county council report, and people will hear that. And so you go down there about 8:30. But, Marshall, can you look up the council agenda? Sometimes it starts at 8:30 for a special piece to it, and then other times the main piece comes on at 10. So we'll look at when that is. So the South Shore Development Plan is the piece that had to do with the dairy.
Will they be taking community input on the traffic?
Yes, I'm okay. Sure that they will be. Uh-huh. And typically... Ray McCormick from the DOT would be making a presentation, and it's good to sit there and listen to the presentation before putting in the information, you know, your feedback, because you want to hear what they have to say first. We have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, Felicia. It's Jen and Brogan Kate.
Oh, hi.
Hi. I wanted to call about that Kekaha meeting on Polihale. It's the purpose of the meeting is exactly the opposite of what
person who answered the phone.
Reporting,
said?
Yeah.
Okay.
The DLNR is holding the meeting to ask people their opinions about what ought to happen at Polihale.
Oh, great.
What ought to happen with the road? What ought to happen with the beach side, with that beach park? There are no specific proposals for changes. Those will come after they've heard what the public has to say.
So the caller who called in that was concerned, it sounds like maybe they're probably still listening, and we're really happy that they're able to hear this, that the strong goal is to be getting community input. We know the folks out in Kekaha had done an amazing job with fixing the road after the flood.
And one of the questions that they'll be asking the community is, what do you want to happen with that road? Do people want that road to be paved? Do they want that road to remain a gravel road? Or do they want something else to happen with it? And they'll also be asking, there are some issues regarding the dunes, the Poihali dunes, which contain burials and archaeological sites and endangered species. And there's some concern that people using four-wheel drive vehicles in there are tearing up the archaeological and natural qualities of those dunes. And so they'll be asking the people whether there ought to be, you know, what sorts of things ought to be done to respond to those situations.
So it's going to be at the Keikaha Neighborhood Center. And are you going to be there?
I'll be there. It's going to be at 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. Monday at the Keikaha Neighborhood Center.
So, Jan?
Yes.
Because I respect that you have really strong Mana'o and you're very intelligent on a lot of different things, have you been listening to most of the show or did you just tune in?
No, I've been listening.
Oh, great. You know, you and I don't always see things exactly the same way. I would love to hear what you have to say because you always have something sharp to say.
On which of the several issues?
Well, come to our seed exchange. That would be wonderful. Oh, we were just speaking about that.
Well, let me tell you that I have been to one of the seed exchanges, and it's one of the great resources on this island. It's a great resource. Not only, I mean, you're talking about the seeds and the plants you can get, but the people you can talk to and learn about the natural vegetation and the kinds of vegetation you can use to grow food most successfully. And you can get answers to problems that you may have in your garden. It's a great resource and really valuable to our community.
Thank you so much. And then the earlier stuff, like I really want to hear what you have to say. Everybody who called in today and all of our dialogue was basically looking at one side of an issue, which is the DLNR nomination for Carlton Ching. I know that you have been an environmental reporter and you've worn a number of different hats. What do you feel about that? If you feel free to share, I mean, how do you feel about the nomination?
Well, I don't have a dog in that hunt, but I mean, my first reaction is there's an interesting balance. The governor nominated three, it sounds like, eminently qualified and culturally appropriate people with environmental backgrounds, and also the kinds of economic backgrounds that you'd be looking for to be on the board. And the board, that's a managing board. Those board members will be managing the DLNR. I have never met Carlton Ching, don't know anything about him. I'm concerned about what I'm hearing. On the other hand, I'm concerned that I haven't run into anybody who's actually asked him what his views are.
They did Ching, very much.
No, in the committee hearings. But by the time the committee hearings were held, the entire environmental community, and I consider myself part of that community, seems as, and they may know more than I do, the folks on Oahu certainly must, seems like they had come down on both feet in opposition to his appointment. I have some worries about his involvement in the criticism of the historic
the Shipti State Historic Preservation
and that I mean, if he's going to be in charge of that office, that's a concern. His other views, I'm not comfortable enough to know, but yeah, it's So I am hesitant to criticize folks before I've done all the research, and I haven't done all the research on that one.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate that. And any other thing you want to add?
No. I just wanted to clear up that the state, in the case of the Poihali question, is doing the right thing. They're asking the community first, and I think they ought to be applauded for that.
Yes, and I was really happy with the Department of Transportation when they have come out, and when they were at Kilauea, they had a vision already, and the Kilauea Neighborhood Association had their own transportation plan, and they were really willing to listen and adapt to that. Eric Hansen has a comment.
I'm just thinking about our natural resources and the DNLR, and why it's important for preservation of historical, cultural, and natural resources. So if we don't protect these things, we can't actually have any development. It's kind of, it sounds counterintuitive, but it's actually really intuitive. So if we protect our forest, not only do we have forest, we have culture. Culture is part of why people come to Hawaii. We perpetuate olelo, stories, gathering rites. Besides protecting the forest, we protect the water. If we protect the water, we can have water for development. If we don't have natural resources, we can't even develop anything. So it's almost it's imperative that we really take a proactive stance in saving these resources so that we can have development in the right sense that's feasible, because without that, we don't have that.
Right. So we have another, we're back to the hen house. We have the chicken and the egg question, right? So we have to keep
it. I'm not sure it's that clear, though. The DLNR, as it's set up in our state government, is perhaps the most conflicted government agency we have. It is charged at the same time with both protecting the environment and making money off of it, with both protecting native forests and promoting hunting, which works in many cases directly against the native forest. It has these deeply conflicted mandates, and it's a problem. It will never be easy to select somebody to run the DLNR. That's one thing I think we can all agree
on.
Yeah,
that's a big job. Well, thank you, Jan, for calling in. And thank you for all that you do. And sometime I want you in here.
Okay, see ya.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay, so Jazz with John is going to be up real soon. I did look at the council agenda, and it doesn't have the time stating of exactly what time it is. So
around 8 o'clock or something.
Well, I would think around 8:30. Pardon me?
The committee meeting's at 9.
The committee meeting is at 9, and we're about to hear the county council report, and
Thank you, John,
who does it. So he is absolutely the right person to hear about it. So, everybody, wonderful thing happening this weekend, Sunday. Regeneration Seed Exchange in Kilauea. Change your life, be happy, everything. We can grow our way out of this. That's one thing I really do believe. We can grow our way out of it. We've got Eric Hansen sitting right here who teaches the Go Farm program. He's very much into it. We have Eric Cannon, who is, like myself, a neighborhood gardener. We have Marshall, who is a farmer and has his own food plot at his house. We're all in that team, so yay, we're cheerleaders for it. Now Eric and I have given our mana'o really strong about what we think on what's going on, and we have had Eric and Marshall rather quiet. So Marshall, would you like to say something, as and then this will be like your final piece, and then we'll go to Eric Cannon, and then Eric and I will do just very quick aloha, and we will go to the county council report.
You know, it's just been a great conversation today, so thank you, and thanks to all the callers. Aloha.
Well, I live in the heart of downtown Kapa'a now, and I can't really plant anything. I wouldn't want to plant any vegetables right next to the paint that's coming off of all these buildings.
Oh, which paint is coming off the buildings?
Well, for instance, I live right next to, say, the Sushi Bushido's, so the Dragon Building, and there's just one little teeny strip of dirt that you could possibly plant something. And, you know, I don't think you would want to eat anything that came out of that strip of dirt, so what I did was I took a bunch of compost and clean dirt, put it in that little strip, and planted a big flower bed there. So maybe if anybody has the time, come to the Seed Exchange, find a little piece of dirt that you can, I don't know, spring to new life. And, yeah, as Felicia says, we can grow our way out of this. And, yeah, just turned 25 yesterday, so.
Yes, happy birthday.
Happy St. Patty's Day, everybody. Have a great, safe night. Aloha. Mahalo for listening.
Okay, and so, Eric, any final thoughts aside from the Ching nomination? Like, what are you looking at for coming up? If you want to bring that up, I'm also happy to talk about what we're going to be discussing next week.
One thing is this I gotta tell you is what Uncle P always tells me, and that's love everybody. So just love everybody and speak your voice out for whatever you have to say. And aloha.
Okay, well, in the progression of what the show is doing, we have, last week we were talking about some of these events that are happening with the global, with the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is a preemption across everything. We were also looking at how there is a movement among the states. There is now 11 states that have put in the word saying that they want to have a constitutional convention on the one specific issue of the influence of money in politics. This week, we are talking about the influence, seeming influence of money in politics when we're talking about our Department of Land and Natural Resources. That's very much right here. Tomorrow at the County Council, when we're looking at the transportation issue, roads and all that, that is the influence of how do we adapt for all of our needs and how much we've changed. So sometimes we really do need to make some differences, or we have to change our behavior. Next week, I believe that what we have on the agenda is to be really looking at weather. It's been very dry here in Kauai for what it is normal. A couple years ago, we had a big dry period like this too. California is profoundly dry. They say they don't even have a year's worth of water supply left. We're seeing really unusual weather patterns, and I've been seeing lots of different discussions. I'm going to be going to this water meeting on Thursday. A group of us in the Aha Moku system, we're going to be doing some walks along the waterways and seeing why is it the water not making it down to places. And my suspicion is, supported by some other people's suspicions, is that the auwais, the ditch systems, have just been collapsing over the years from not enough repair. And so sometimes I get calls, people think that maybe the water is being taken, redirected, and we're going to look. Is it being redirected, or is it just that the ditches are collapsing? So we're going to be looking at that. We had a guest last week that's talking about this meditation on water, a global effort of, do you remember what that is, Marshall? It's coming up on this Sunday. Last week we had Jacob. I was not actually here, I was listening, but Jacob Delaney from unify.org. They're doing a water awareness all around the world, looking at what's going on in these different water areas. So that is a very important issue. People are talking about the geoengineering that's going on. We see climate change. We see, you know, basic trends that are much larger than humanity, what's happening with that. But water, farming, all of that kind of comes together. This weekend is the spring solstice. That means we're about to shift. It's the beginning
longer
of spring.
Days.
Longer days. Okay, so aloha.
Thanks for our guest. Thank you, Felicia.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
Mahalo nui.
Aloha.
All right, and here's the county council report. Then we'll hear jazz with John.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of March 16th. There will be a council committee meeting Wednesday at 9 a.m. in the council chambers in Lihue. Here's some highlights from the agenda. The planning committee has Bill 2576 on their agenda, and it's an ordinance establishing regulations, procedures, zoning, development plans, and future growth areas for the South Kauai Planning District, and also establishing exceptions, modifications, and additions to the county code, and this was deferred from March 4th. They also have Bills 2577 and 2578 on the agenda, and they are for an ordinance amending the county code relating to zoning designations in Poipu. John Horowitz, Peter Baldwin, Matthew B. Gard, and George Robinson, successor co-trustees of the Eric Knudsen Trust under deed of trust dated April 30, 1922. They're the applicants, and public hearings were held on this on March 11th. The Economic Development Intergovernmental Relations Committee has a request from Committee Chair Ku'uli'i for the Director of Economic Development to provide an update on the proposed operations of the Kilauea Agricultural Center. The Committee of the Whole has a request from Councilmember Hoosier for the District Engineer's State Department of Transportation, Kauai District, to provide an update on the DOT's pending highway projects. This briefing shall include the four-lane widening project on Kahio Highway in Kapa'a and also other highway mitigation plans for the Kapa'a-Wailua corridor, including the four-lane expansion in the area fronting Cocoa Palms. This was deferred from March 4th. Also on their agenda is Bill Number 2579 for an ordinance authorizing the Office of the County Auditor to procure the services of a contract auditor and approving a contract for a contract auditor from appropriations of a later fiscal year for more than one fiscal year. Public hearing was held on this on March 11th. For more information, visit the county's website at www.kauai.gov. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. We're Kauai's Community Radio, and stay tuned for Jazz with John coming up next. Jazz with John is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Coffee Company, the Dolphin Restaurant, Kamoa Ukulele, and Tiki Aniki.